Warrior, everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Jungle Show. Thank y'all for joining us for another edition to talk Auburn basketball. As we're here towards the very, very end of the season, one game remaining in the regular season for the Auburn Tigers in the 2022-2023 season. And we are here to talk about the second to last game, the heartbreaking and gut-wrenching overtime loss in Coleman Coliseum to the number two Alabama Crimson Tide. We talk about how well Auburn played in this game, talked about the things that they did so much better than they did in their previous game against Kentucky, where they got beat by 32, we're down 40 at one time. Two completely different games for Auburn, even though they both ended at a loss against two very, very good SEC teams at this time. And then we'll talk about kind of some things that happened in this Alabama game that I want to get off my mind, get off my chest, and discuss a little bit. Because it's getting some of it's getting a little ridiculous, but then we'll move on from that. Preview Tennessee. This episode will come out Friday afternoon. So if you're listening to this on Friday afternoon, Tennessee game is at 1 o'clock Central Time tomorrow. It's a huge game, a game that Auburn can instantly clinch the NCAA tournament, getting another quad one win against the number three net ranked team, the Tennessee Volunteers. And we'll preview that at the end of the show. But I want to go ahead and get started talking about this Alabama game. And to do that, I brought my dad and co-host again. Dad, this one's going to be hard to talk about, just like the other Alabama game, because the Tide sweep the Tigers this season. But I think it's going to be harder for different reasons than the other one is.
So my question is, which game was harder, Kentucky or Alabama?
Alabama, not even close. I didn't watch the end of the Kentucky game. I don't think any Auburn fan did.
For what it's worth.
Unless you were in the arena.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I would agree with you. The Kentucky game is what I thought the Alabama game may be, to be honest with you. I thought we would go into that building with them having everything to play for, an SEC championship clinch on the line. And I thought they'd run us out of the building. I honestly did. I didn't think we had a shot. I'm trying to combine chance and shot together.
Until
Wendell gets an 18 footer wide open that almost goes in, and that would have won the game. It was a good shot. It was a good look. Probably one of our better end of game looks we've had.
That's very true. So talking about this game, just like you said, I think this one is harder than the Kentucky game. The Kentucky game, Auburn did not belong on the court after the first 15 minutes with Kentucky. They were just getting embarrassed up and down the floor. Kentucky was just doing whatever they wanted to. In this game, I think it was the complete opposite. Auburn was doing whatever it wanted to, shooting the absolute lights out from three, was getting unbelievable production from the bench, which we've been praying for so long. It just kind of turned, and it turned at very specific points. And we'll talk about that when I get my two cents in about the officiating in this game. Let me preface this by at the very beginning of this show, Auburn lost this game. The officials did not lose this game. I blamed the officials on the Texas A&M loss at Texas A&M, where they shot 26 more free throws than us. I will stand by that one. It's easier to blame the officials for the Tennessee loss at Tennessee because of the final play, because that changed the outcome of the final play. Auburn had a chance. Wendell Green would have had three free throws to go tie the game. We'd have to go to overtime. I think we would have had the momentum going into overtime in that game. They didn't change the outcome of this game, but there were four calls or no calls that I want to talk about.
You've already gotten into it.
Here in a little bit. It's hard not to get into it.
I know.
We're talking about this game.
Trust me.
And we'll talk about I'll get that in a minute. But let's talk about this Auburn team and this Auburn game. Look, 63% or 60% from the three-point line, 12 of 20, shot 46% from the field. Wendell Green goes 2 of 10. And you score 85 points against the number two team in the country on the road.
At their building.
Mm-hmm. Jalen Williams had 15 points. He was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Jani Broome, when he finally started to get going,
Right before he fouled out.
Right before he fouled out. He had 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Alan Flanagan looked outstanding, looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. Some of the shots he was making was incredible. He had 17 points and 8 rebounds. Katie Johnson off the bench was absolutely spectacular. Had 4 threes, 21 points.
Didn't he just miss one three?
Yeah, at the very
end. He was 4 of 5 from three?
He was 4 of 4 in, like, real time, yes.
Yeah.
Trey Donaldson looked unbelievable.
Fantastic, by the way.
Look, Trey has an argument to be the starting point guard and move Wynn to one. And that's something I want to talk about, not just for this offseason, you know, moving into next year. And obviously we don't know who's going to be on the team next year, but Trey looked outstanding in this game. It was a come out game for Trey. He had 7 points and didn't have any rebounds and any assists, but he was unbelievable, even on the defensive end.
Andy even said, Trey's got a look in his eye tonight.
Yeah.
That I haven't seen from Trey maybe all year.
Yes.
And look, he came KD, off that screen. Yeah. He came off that screen early. And they played under the screen and then backed off, and he hit the three. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
maybe Trey's got a little something, something. And he was terrific. He and KD kept us in this game
for sure
because they were both fantastic off the bench.
Yes.
It's the best game I've seen KD play since at some point last year.
Yeah. Again, off the bench, Chris Moore had 3 points. Leroy Berman hit that 1-3. As well, the
big three right before half.
That's correct. Yeah, that's very true. So now talking about this game, Auburn played well enough to win.
Should have won.
You should have won. Again, had a shot to win at the buzzer with Wendell Green. He got a good look at the end. I would much rather have an attack the basket because I think he's better at that. But
he is not getting – So with Wynn attacking the basket the past few games, he is not getting the foul calls that he got last year and early this year. So I'm going to lead you into your issues here. But when Wynn Green attacks the basket, he gets mugged. And because he has a flop reputation for some reason, that I don't know where it comes from, but he has a flop reputation, I think, with the officials. So they give the benefit of the doubt to a guy who literally jumps into a 5'9 guy and knocks him to the floor. Wynn still makes some of those, but that 18-footer as time was expiring was a good look. It was much better look than he got at Arkansas last year.
And then Alabama just made a run at the very beginning of overtime, and Auburn was never able to get back into the lead after having a 17-point lead with about 12 minutes to go.
And look, so you cannot blow a 17-point lead.
No. Auburn lost this game.
You lost the game.
Auburn lost this game, and Alabama won this game. So before I start talking about the officials, keep that in mind. I'm not blaming the officials on this one. I will blame the officials on the Texas A&M loss and maybe that Tennessee loss. Not this one.
Yeah.
Not this one.
Yeah, you got to hold a 17-point lead.
You're right. For Alabama – I think you did an outstanding job on Brandon Miller, even though he ended up with 17 points. 10 of those points were from the line. He went
both games we've played him
3 of 12 from the field. You played him outstanding. He didn't do what Jabari Smith did to them last year.
No.
To us. No. None at all. No. You want to know why? Because our coach knows how to game plan for a player like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Oates didn't. Simple as that. But – that I'm getting a little too feisty with this.
Sorry.
But I just want to go ahead and talk about the officials. We can talk about this game. We out rebounded Alabama in this game. We shot better from three. It's just you had more turnovers. They made that 16-0 run to cut the lead to one, and it was could never get back.
Let me talk about the 16-0 run. That's where I think the issue. I don't have a lot of issues with how Auburn played or the strategy of what Auburn was doing. At some point, because what's his name? The guy who said they were going to beat us by 30.
Javon Quinterly. Yeah.
Quinterly, we could not stay in front of him. Give him credit. He's a really good ball handler and a really good player, but we couldn't stay in front of him. And we played man that whole 16-point run. Then we switched to a little zone every once in a while, and it confused the stuffings out of that team. Yep. They had no idea what to do. I wish, and I'm sure the coaches look back on it and go, maybe 8 points into that run, if we switched to a zone where he's not just straight line driving to the rim from the slot, maybe we can stop the run.
Yeah, you really just could not stay in front of him. Javon Quinterly, coming out of high school, was a five-star, like number two point guard in the country, went to Villanova, and I believe he got hurt at Villanova and then transferred to Alabama. But he never was described as a shooter. He went two of five from threes in this game. One of them was a wide open one that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But he never was a shooter. He always had a great handle and could finish at the rim no matter what the contact was.
He did.
And he did a great job almost single-handedly. This was by far his best game of his career, by the way. He has been struggling mightily in the past few games in this season. Because Mark Sears has been really, really good. And Mark Sears was really good in this game as well. Mm-hmm. He had 17 points and 3 rebounds as well. But let's go ahead and talk about the 4 things I want to talk about this game. Okay. I'm going to talk about them in chronological order from when they happened.
Okay.
Auburn was up 66-51.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Williams had just knocked the ball out of Brandon Miller's hand. It's now on the baseline for Alabama, on their baseline, with about 12 minutes to go or something like that. Probably around there. I assume that's what it was, because it was just at the start of their run.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what sparked their run? A Javon Quinterly 3. How did he get that 3? On that inbounds, he completely shoves Trey Donaldson to the ground.
All right, it was a sideline out of bounds right in front of their bench. It wasn't baseline.
Oh, I thought it was baseline. Okay.
No, because the official was in the wrong spot. He was on the low side of the inbounder.
Yeah. Not only was the official in the wrong spot, none of the officials were looking at Quinterly. So it wasn't like they saw it and didn't call it. They weren't even looking.
It was in the wrong spot.
Obvious push. Trey Donaldson went flying almost to the baseline from the 3-point line. Yep. Javon Quinterly's both arms were extended, and he got a wide open 3 and knocked it down. Yep. And then it went from a 12-point lead, or it went from a 15-point lead to a 12-point lead, and all the momentum was in favor of Alabama.
That place was going crazy.
That was what started their run.
Yeah. Yeah,
you cannot miss that call. That is unbelievably ridiculous.
So the official that hands the ball to the inbounder is supposed to be above him towards half court, the half court side of him, not the baseline side of him, so that he can see the whole action, because he's to look at that side of the court. In order to see the hole at that side of the court, he's got to be higher than the inbounder. He was not. He was down below the inbounder because Nate Oates was complaining about something in his ear right before that. I think he wanted a foul on Jalen Williams for knocking it out of bounds. So he was down below the inbounder. He handed it and he turned to look. And you're right.
He didn't see it.
Quinterly extended his arms where his elbows were locked.
And they had called that once on Alan Flanagan and twice on both Brandon Miller and Mark Sears in this game. So it's not like they were not calling that play.
Yep, I agree.
They just didn't terrible see miss they call. Were looking at it.
It was a you terrible miss. You cannot
miss that call, because that's a momentum starter for Alabama.
And it was a technical issue on their part. You're right. Yep. They didn't see it because they weren't in the right position to see it. As somebody who used to lifeguard a pool, you have areas that you have to scan the whole time, but you're placed in certain areas so that you can cover the whole pool.
Yeah.
And they didn't cover the whole half court.
Yep.
I agree.
So, and now I want to talk about Jani's last two fouls. Jani fouled out in this game. Jalen fouled out in this game. Allen fouled out in this game. Dylan Carwell got hurt in this game. Well, I want to talk about Dylan's injury as well. And look, give Auburn credit this game. Our final lineup was Wendell, Katie, Trey, Leor, and Chris Moore.
Chris Moore playing the center at 6'5". Maybe. And
that's maybe 6'6". That's crazy. That's crazy.
Got a few rebounds, too, as the center.
Let's talk about Jani's last two fouls. Let's talk about his fourth first.
That's awful.
He's going – so Brandon Miller shoots the three. There's about 9 minutes left. Brandon Miller shoots a three. It misses. It's a long rebound. Jani's about
– boxed this guy out.
Yeah, Jani boxed Charles Bediako out.
Mm-hmm.
Reaches for the rebound behind him because it's going to go a little behind him. Bediako reaches as well. Bediako's other arm is on Jani's back, which is illegal. Mm-hmm. That's a foul in every league and every single time. But Bediako reaches with his other hand and then tips it, and then KD Johnson controls it. Not until KD Johnson had the basketball and was about to dribble, the whistle was blown. When the whistle was blown, you can go back and look at it. Both Katie, Bediako, Miller, and Broom were all walking to the other end, assuming that that foul was on Charles Bediako. Because
it should have been.
Bediako knew he had his arm right there.
Mm-hmm.
Bediako also, that's not on Charles Bediako. That's not, he's purposely trying to foul. He didn't know that ball was going to be long, and Jani had boxed him out. So he's trying to get around Jani to get the rebound. That's just basketball. That's just how it is. But it's a foul.
Mm-hmm.
It's a foul. When that ball goes long and Jani jumps back, that's a foul on Bediako, not Brooke. I don't even understand how they got to a foul on Jani for that.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did the official out by the timeline on the other side of the court, he's the one that called it, right? It wasn't the baseline official.
Yeah, no, the complete
opposite side of the
court official.
Yeah. All he saw were two hands going after the ball. There's no way he saw anything else. And there's no way you get a foul out of that.
No, if anything, it's not a foul on Bediako either. That's just a play on. But nobody another issue with that is it wasn't until KD got the ball and was about to start dribbling that they called that foul.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, Auburn got the ball? No, that's got to be a foul on Broom.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looked like. Because in this case, the officials were in the right spots.
Yeah.
The last foul we talked about, they were technically not in the right spots. This case, they were in the right spots. They had a baseline official right there on that side of the court, right there.
Didn't call anything.
Looking at it. His job is to look for that.
And
his job, by the way, is to look for that elbow in the back. And he didn't call anything to play
that,
on.
That also, there's a strong side half-court official that's standing over by Nate Oates.
Yeah.
Who can make that call, if anything, it's his call.
Yeah, you're right.
If it's not the baseline guy call, it's his. It's not the far side half-court official.
No.
Not even at all. What could he have seen?
Nothing.
He saw KD get the ball and go, oh, no. Yeah. Beat Broom, sure.
Sure seems that way.
Broom seemed like he was in the play. Foul.
Sure seems that way.
Okay, so let's talk about Jani's last foul.
I'm going to struggle here.
So am I. Sorry, I'm recovering from being sick. So, okay.
I want to hear you explain this foul to me.
It's not okay. So Wendell has the ball at the top of the key.
I think it's Jalen.
Jalen had the ball at the top of the key.
Yeah.
With about seven and a half minutes to go. Yep. Auburn is up 8 at this point. Yep. Alabama's in the middle of their run, but Auburn is currently up 8.
We need a bucket.
So we do. Jani gets a mismatch with the 6 foot Mark Sears on him in the post
and
block. It was complete down at the block.
Okay.
It was down at the block.
More at the elbow.
Yep. And he is that is a catch, turn, one dribble.
Oh, score. Yeah. It's a layup.
That's an easy bucket for Jani.
Or foul.
If it's not a if I'm Mark Sears, once Janai catches the ball, I foul it.
Yeah. Either that or try to.
It kind of looked like he was going to
swipe it when he if he brings it down.
That's yeah, it kind of looked like he was going to because it was a complete mismatch. There wasn't Noah Clowney was on the complete other side of the floor, and Brandon Miller was on the other side of the floor as well. So the tall guys for Alabama weren't even close. It wasn't like this was going to be a bucket.
It wasn't a very good pass.
It wasn't a very good pass.
A little too high.
But it was very
catchable.
It was very catchable, but it was Jalen's point on the pass was Janai's going to get this or nobody's going to get this.
Yeah.
Alabama's not going to get this and get a run out. If they're going to get it, they're going to get it on I'm going to throw it out of bounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Javon Quinterly comes from the other side as the pass behind is in the him. Air mm-hmm. and grabs the ball and Broom's arm, slings out of bounds, lands out of bounds, slings Broom down to the ground, and then throws the ball off of Broom. And when look, that's not a technical foul. People on Twitter were saying that, why did he throw the ball on that? He's throwing the ball to throw it off of Broom to get it out of bounds.
Get the ball.
Happens
all the time.
Yeah.
If you've ever played in the playground, it happens all the time.
Yes, that happens all the time. That's a brilliant play by Quinter.
Sure. The hook and hold was the problem.
Right after the play, there was a scuffle between Quinterly and Green. I believe Wendell Green was trying to go help Janai up.
And he took a little offense to the throwing the ball off of him. And probably more offense to Quinterly standing over Janai for a split second.
Completely stood over him. Yeah, yeah.
So
and there was that whole scuffle there. And Katie Johnson was a little bit involved. I mean, nothing was done about that. Like that was, they were separated quickly. The entire Alabama bench came off the floor, but they ruled that since that was a timeout, that the only people who were coming off the floor and headed to the scruffle, they would eject.
Who called timeout?
It was a media timeout.
Okay. Was that the,
it was
under
a dead ball media timeout. It was under the under eight timeout.
Okay.
With about 7:38 to go in the game.
Yeah. Under eight.
And
timeout.
Then, okay. So they eject Charles Bediako, Alabama starting center, and Rylan Griffin, their backup shooting guard.
One of their better shooters.
Who had 16 points on us in Neville Arena.
Yeah, he killed us.
I was like, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get – I mean, I think Alabama got the ball out of bounds. Either that or it's a foul on Quinterly. Janai's going to get – Janai maybe we go to the line, go up 10, and he's going to go crazy without Bediako in the game.
Yeah.
That was the problem. In the two games against Alabama that Janai played, he didn't have a good game because Bediako was doing a fantastic job of bodying him.
Really
in the post,
good player.
Really physical with it.
He's become Bediako a really good player. Job.
Yes. Yeah. Noah Clowney wasn't going to do that with Broom. And I was like, oh, Broom's going to have 15 more points in this game. We're going to walk away with this.
Walk away with it. Yep.
And he's just, I mean, we're just going to throw it to him. He's going to score every time. When the play happened, right as Quinterly was throwing the ball off of Broom and then standing over him, the baseline official held his hand with an open palm up, which in officiating in basketball, that means out of bounds or timeout.
Yep.
Not once did he hold his closed fist, which is the only signal for a foul. If he did, then I would immediately think there would have been a foul on Quinterly.
Should have been.
For going and grabbing the ball, but also grabbing Broom's arm and slinging him out of bounds, which is also a hook and hold, which is an intentional foul, which is two shots in the ball. During the 10-minute delay of it with 7.5 to go, Auburn's up 8. During the 10-minute delay of them ejecting Charles Bediako and Rylan Griffin and determining who needs
what
to be
happened.
Ejected,
yeah.
and they also ejected an assistant coach who ran on the floor, Thug.
They also called timeout technicals on Green.
And Quinterly.
Quinterly, which yes. offsetting technicals,
offset,
I don't
that
care.
That doesn't matter, yeah. They also discovered a foul on Janai Broom on that, which was his fifth, and knocked him out of the game with 7.5 to go, as did Charles, as they were ejecting Charles Bediako.
That changed the game, by the way.
That completely changes the game because, again, just like we said, if Janai stays in that game without Bediako, which Bediako should have been ejected, Janai has 15. Janai may end up with 25.
So I'm listening to the radio call matched up with the TV. So I'm not even listening to whoever.
I'll tell you what the broadcast said. You tell me what Andy and
so I'm listening to Andy and another guy. It wasn't even the normal rogue guy. Mm-hmm. But the play happened, and I'm like thinking, number one, I thought when he threw the ball in his head, he was already standing out of bounds. So I originally thought it was our ball. And then they showed it, and he was standing in bounds. His feet were in bounds. But I was like, it's got to be a foul on him. And about 3 minutes into that long process, Andy goes, well, that's five fouls on Janai. He's out. And I went,
What?
Where was a foul on Janai? He got the ball thrown off his head. And he goes, yeah, he's out. That's it for Janai. And then they came on and talked about the other guys getting kicked out. I was like, I've looked at the play 100 times. I cannot find a foul on Janai. It's a hook and hold. Okay. And sometimes they miss the hook and hold. If they'd have called that Alabama ball out of bounds and no foul except the two technicals and the guys getting thrown out, I would have said, that's a really bad call, but you called it out of bounds. You called it out of bounds and pointed that direction.
He did.
You never called the foul.
It's also, I don't understand how they, because that ref did not call a foul, and neither did the other ones, by the way.
No.
So it's not like, you know, we didn't see a guy call a foul right when it happened. How did they get a foul in the replay? They're not reviewing the replay. They're not reviewing for a foul.
You can't review for a foul.
You can't review for a foul. How did they get a foul? Where did that come? Oh, no. Oh, Bediako was getting ejected. Oh, Broom would kill. Ugh. How many fouls does Broom have? Four?
Yeah.
We'll call a foul right here. He's out. And you could see right when Broom and Pearl figured that out, how not upset is an understatement, but also confused that they were. And I was too. The broadcast on the TV, I really like Jimmy Dykes, but he was really, really pro Javon Quinterly in this game, which was just, he was pro Jabari Smith last year. So it evens out. I really, really like Jimmy Dykes, but they were confused as well. They were like, wait, that's it for Broom. They called a foul on Broom. Javon Quinterly's going to go to the line for two free throws. I didn't notice until Quinterly was at the line that they had called a foul. I was like, wait, why are they shooting free throws? Because they went to the free throw. I was like, well, did they call a technical a KD or something? Like, are there more? Do we get more technicals? How does it even make sense? Like, they had players ejected. And then they said that they had called the fifth foul on Broom and he was done. And I was like, what? That makes zero sense. I don't even understand. The last two fouls on Janai were absolute crap.
Yeah, so I'm watching again just now on Twitter, and you're right. That official's hand is very, very, very wide open. That's not a foul call. And
you can't review for a foul.
No.
You can't change an out-of-bounds call to a foul.
Once you go to the thing, or else you'd be doing it all the time.
You can't even add a hook and hold on Quinterly.
No, you need to call that hook and hold. That's a hook and hold by definition.
If you grab somebody's arm,
he's got his arm underneath his. Yeah,
that's a hook and hold. That's why that's called an intentional foul, because you're going to get somebody hurt. Yep. And that leads me right into my next one. I say so many times during a basketball game, and it doesn't matter what level. It could be college, it could be pro, it could be high school, it could be middle school girls basketball. If the officials don't control some of the physicality of the basketball game, you know, I don't want them to be, you know, blowing their whistle like crazy like they were in the A&M game. But if they don't control some of it, they're going to get a player hurt, because other players are just going to keep being that physical, and then something's going to go wrong. That's exactly what happened to Dylan Cardwell. Yep. And that may have ended Cardwell's season. Oh. You know, we haven't got
enough heard as of for right sure. Now, has anybody heard?
No, as of right now, nobody knows about Dylan. We really hope that he's okay. I highly, highly doubt he would be anywhere near dressed out against Tennessee.
No.
That ankle injury looked very, very serious. It was a very positive sign that he was able to get up and kind of walk it off. He kind of limped a little.
It scares me when I saw it. I thought he popped his Achilles.
I did too. I did too. Because Mark Sears ran right into the back of his leg.
It's a foul.
It's a foul.
I know Mark. Look, Mark didn't
do it on purpose.
There was an intent.
No,
and
not at all.
He was going for the basketball and I think tripped.
But that is
a foul. He knocked Dylan down.
That's a foul. Dylan doesn't just fall to the ground and almost break his ankle.
And for what it's worth, it should have been called, and Dylan should have gone over and sat on the sideline and let somebody shoot free throws because I don't want Dylan shooting the free throws.
Gracious.
After the air ball.
Horrible. So, he's airballed about two or three this season.
But it's a foul.
That's something he's got to work on.
It's a foul in every league. It's a foul at every time of the game.
Why that?
Terrible.
That made zero sense how that wasn't a call. That was also a climactic moment in the game.
Yeah. Dylan had gotten a rebound. We were what, down two?
Rebound, yeah.
And then we didn't have any, severe thunderstorm warnings are popping up. From there on, we didn't have a big.
No, and that's what led to Chris Moore having to play the five and Leo Berman having to play the four. That's two shooting. That's a shooting guard and a small forward playing your power forward and center. And Brandon Miller and Noah Clowney were going to get every single rebound.
Although, let's give credit where credit is due. Chris Moore got an offensive rebound on a free throw that really helped. We had a couple times when we were playing small like that, that we got offensive rebounds that kept us in the game. One led to the KD three.
Yep. That's right. There's also one more call, and I didn't write this one down to talk about it, but at the very, very beginning of the game, there was a out-of-bounds call off of – Jalen was driving. Jalen was rolling too. Jalen just buried two straight threes, and he was driving to the left side down the lane, and the ball got tipped. It got knocked off of Jalen's leg, and then off of I believe it was Noah Clowney's leg, and out of bounds. And the baseline official saw it and pointed Auburn's direction. The Nate Oates got unbelievably upset, started yelling and screaming,
changed the call.
Being crazy. The crowd was going nuts.
And the guy from the opposite side.
Guess who came in? The guy from the complete opposite side on half court came in to change the call.
There's no way he saw that to change it. There's no way.
How did he see that?
There's no way.
No chance he saw that, especially if he saw something like Jedi Broom fouling on his fourth foul. No way. So then again, at the end of the day, Auburn should have won this game.
Got to hold 17 points.
You've got to win this game.
We went cold for that 16-0 stretch. You got to find a way to get a bucket.
Absolutely.
And and in my opinion, you needed to go zone to keep what's his name out of the lane because they weren't shooting the ball well enough to kill you in a zone.
No, they really weren't.
You go zone. You slow Quinterly down just a little bit even, and you win the game.
Yeah.
Even with all the stupid, horrible, terrible officials called.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, you know, but outside of Auburn not holding this lead and all the officials, you really, really play great.
Really great.
I mean, you just think about this. Obviously, it's heartbreaking and gut-wrenching of a loss that this is, an overtime by five to a rival like this. That team is the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. And you went to their place and gave them by far the toughest test they've had all year in that building.
Oh, by far.
Not even close.
They've been beating people by 50 in that building.
Their average win margin in that building was 26.
Yeah. 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 Wendell had a shot to beat them.
You played unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a difference between last Saturday and this Alabama game where you got absolutely thumped by Kentucky. We're down by 40 at one point, lost by 32. And this game against Alabama, I guess Alabama is a much better team than Kentucky right now.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean? So now we're on the bubble. after you lose these two games, and we said when we had Kentucky, Alabama, Tennessee left, I think the most likely game to win is the home game against Tennessee on senior night on Saturday. Now you got to think. Auburn's now on the bubble, the last four byes, so you're still in. But now you got to think, if you can beat Tennessee, who's ranked third in the net right now,
you lock it.
You're locked in.
You're locked, and it's a seed.
It's all about where you're seated now instead of are you in.
Yeah, you're locked in.
Talking about this Tennessee team, this is a Tennessee team you should have had every single opportunity to beat in Thompson Bowling Arena in February. Shot absolutely terrible from three and from the field and from the free throw line. So did Tennessee. That game was an absolute horrible game to watch. It was a physical rock fight, too. Yeah. You did not have Dylan Cardwell in that game.
Not going to have him.
Will not have him either. Again. Now, there's another player that is hurt and that will not be playing in this game. Yeah. Tennessee starting point guard Zakai Ziegler tore his ACL in their win against Arkansas.
I really feel sorry for the kid, by the way.
And I when that happened, I just, like, my heart completely dropped. Yeah. Zakai Ziegler is somebody who's overcome injuries and injuries throughout his high school career and has played so, so well, put his way into the NBA draft type of conversation this year.
Yep.
And for him to go out like he did against Arkansas is not going to be able to play against Auburn or in the tournament. That sucks so, so, so much. And we really
–
prayers up to Zakai Ziegler. However, that helps Auburn because he's really, really good. Yeah. He's their starting point guard. Now you don't just have to worry about you guard Ziegler and Vescovi. You can just run Vescovi off the three-point line.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting how Bruce Pearl kind of game plans for this. I'd be very interested to see how many minutes Trey Donaldson plays in this game. After playing 7 minutes against Kentucky, and let me see how many minutes he played.
Played 13 or something?
He played 17 against Alabama. I'd be very, very interested to see his minutes and to see his minutes with him and Wendell on the floor at the same time because I think that's really, really good. Obviously, it's not good when your other three are KD, Leor, and Chris Moore.
No, it's not.
That's just not a good lineup. But I mean, if you compare – Trey and Wendell at the backcourt, and then let Allen, Jalen, and Janai be in there and not foul out of the game like they did in Alabama. That'd be really, really good. So, I really, really like that lineup. I think
you're going to see, by the way, I think you're going to see a lot more zone from Auburn to try to protect Janai a little bit. You got to have him at the end of the game. Have to. A question.
He's going to have to play 33-plus minutes.
Their best shooter is Vescovi. You still in your zone, you can still concentrate on where he is. You're in your building, so you're going to be able to communicate.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if we don't see a lot of zone and just try to protect our bigs so they're not getting look, two of those foul calls were awful against Janai, but one in the before his third foul call. He just reached in and slapped at the ball and hit the guy in the face.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude,
don't do that.
Way too important to be trying to steal a basketball when a guy's facing you up. Play defense.
Yeah.
So I'd be shocked if we didn't play zone. I'd also be shocked if we shot as well as we did against Alabama, but I think we're going to shoot better than we did at Tennessee.
For sure. I don't think that's a very high standard to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's a low bar to jump over.
Make some layups.
Yes. You won't see Dylan Cardwell, but last time we played Tennessee, we didn't see Dylan, and Johan Traore played some.
I'd be interested to see if Traore plays. We didn't see him come in against Alabama.
No, I thought we would.
I thought we would, but I think that's a really good move by Bruce Pearl.
Because that's a scary situation.
Do not throw him into that situation.
Now you're home.
Now you're home.
You can use him to give Janai breaks.
Yeah.
And see if he can knock down a couple threes and kind of feel himself a little bit. But I mean, 6'10, he's not a shrimp.
He needs to rebound. Yeah.
He needs to rebound.
He needs to be the Cardwell.
I hate that we've lost Cardwell. I hope that he's okay. I really think he's torn his Achilles, and that's a really painful injury. But we'll see. I think we beat Tennessee. I really do. I thought that for a long time. So we'll see, because you beat them, you're in no matter what. You lose to them, you probably got to make it to Sunday in the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. Get another quad one win against Tennessee, and you're in for sure.
Because the bubble took a hit yesterday with a bunch of bubble teams getting beat.
Michigan, Wisconsin all lost. Yep. Arizona State lost. Yeah, there are some bubble teams that
– The bubble that pretty weak.
Beatings, that took some beatings last week or yesterday when we're recording this. But we'll go ahead and wrap this edition of the Jungle Show up. We'll be
– Where are you going?
I don't know the schedule for next week. I will be out of town on a spring break trip.
College kids.
I don't know the schedule for next week. We're going to have to figure that out. Obviously, I think Auburn is a lock for the 7th seed in the tournament, which means they will play late Thursday night. So if that is the case, hopefully we'll be able to just do a review of the SEC tournament and review any games that Auburn played, and then preview what we've got coming up in March Madness if Auburn gets there. We'll be back to discuss that then. Thank you all for listening. War Eagle.